What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's time for the Falcons report on Dukes and Bell.
Looking, shoots it for the end zone. Intercepted A.J. Terrell.
All the highlights and interviews you need from the Dirty Birds.
Fighting all the way through, finding a way to get that win is absolutely outstanding. What we love to do.
The best the Falcons have to offer right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You shall not pass. We are Dukes and Bell.
Normally, we do our Falcon Report in the 5 o'clock hour. Everything's been pushed up, guys, because we're done at 5 because we've got the pregame show. As a matter of fact, Bo Morgan, that is, and Mike Johnson will have the pregame for you. Grant's going to have the halftime and the postgame with Mike Johnson. But all of that has been pushed up, so we start off every day and every hour by saying... Hey, man. It's good to have you listening. And we've been having some fun conversations today. If you are just joining us, we will get back into the punishment for Michigan football, which is eye-opening. And I say that because the punishment itself, it's a lot of money. There are a lot of tentacles to this, but Mike and I have opinions about it, and we're going to tell you what we think as this came down today. Michigan receives a series of fines that could eclipse $30 million to avoid punitive penalties, such as a postseason ban, which is not what happened. All right, but before we get to that, Steve Coonan is on the way here in less than 7 minutes. Mike, what are we looking for tonight? Because a guy asked me, he says, okay, guys, we were up there. I was on the hill with my boys, and we saw you guys. He said, a big shout out to Dukes and Bell. We saw you guys every day we were up there. I guess they were up there multiple days. We were there all the time. But he said, we were up there on the hill, and he said, I saw a lot from what we were able to gather. What am I looking for, like, tonight? And I simply said to him, look, there's probably three battles on the defensive side. You're still talking about the linebacker spot. You're still talking about safety with Xavier Watts. What's D. Alford's role? What's going to happen? They did sign a corner yesterday. We talked about Henderson. And then, Mike, you know, you talk about with the rotations on this interior line. Dorless played well last week, but there's some other guys that need to really step up, I think, when you talk about what this rotation is going to look like. So I said to him, that's kind of what I'm looking at. But again, I don't know how many of those guys are going to play in the second preseason game. My guess is, though, if you're battling for a position, you're probably going to see some time tonight.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talked a lot about the defense, and we'll get into some of the defensive pieces you just talked about. But I would say the offensive line depth, because it's so crucial, is that you don't think about it until somebody goes down. And I've always felt, you know, as much as I criticize Fontenot for sometimes how he drafts, he's cobbled together some really good depth. When Storm Norton had to take over for Caleb McGarry, you know, he's actually been able to step up in the past. You know, when Ryan Neusel had to step in, right? When Drew Dahlman got injured, he did the job. But when you look past that, Javon Gwynn has not looked great. It was really ugly last week against the Lions. It was ugly at times with our second offensive line going up against the Titans' second team. So they picked up a guy, what is it, Jake Hansen?
Yes.
Who can play guard and center. But I think Brandon Parker, you'll see him tonight. He's huge. You can't miss him. He's like Jonathan Ogden size. Doesn't play like him yet. But, I mean, I need to see the second team offensive line kind of solidified, because, you know, there are always invariably injuries other than the 16th season when we kept that whole unit together until, unfortunately, you know, our center, remember, busted up his leg at the second half of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Alex Mack.
Mack, yeah, and it certainly played a role. My takeaways are going to simply be progress with some of the guys that we're looking at. To Mike's point, if we're watching certain guys on that O-line, how should they play? How much better do they play versus what we saw this week? And then how does that, you know, equate to them making this team? Because, again, everybody's not making this team, guys. And that's a good place to be. Like, a few years ago, it was literally like, we need guys to make this team because we don't have a lot of money. Now we're in a situation where, to your point about depth, Mike, as we were saying, we started the show, it feels like, okay, and the season's going to dictate this, but it feels like we've got a little bit more than what we've had, and that makes me feel comfortable knowing, all right, we can go a couple of different places if things happen on the defense. Offensively, yeah, right now I'm praying like nothing happens to this starting offensive line, because I'm not trusting a whole lot with what I've seen with the second O-line. And that is probably why, Mike, and I don't know if you agree, we probably won't see Kirk Cousins. If Cousins plays, guys, it's my guess that he told Ra he wanted to.
Yeah, man. And as I just said, if you're going to throw him out in front of that offensive line, yikes.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're going to put him in, you know, body armor. I don't know if that's the NFL allows that.
Get a body bag.
You know, and now here comes Kirk Cousins. And he looks like, he looks like he's dressed in the Hurt Locker uniform as he comes out. You know, that's bomb disposal. So, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. And in the meantime, Easton Stick does have starting experience, as we mentioned, in the Chargers last year when Herbert went down. So, hey, you know, if he continues to show out under those circumstances, and we talk about the line and the run game is a bit negligible, you're feeling a little bit better if by chance the opportunity comes to trade Kirk Cousins between now and the trade deadline.
Yeah, that and that's part of this evaluation. 404-726-0929. You can text us, tweet at us. You can find us 92.9 The Game and Dukes and Bell, and let us know what you're thinking. And you know the relationship, by the way, and we're not going to see this either tonight, but we don't need to. At least Mike and I don't. You're going to, and you're going to love it. And we're talking about the relationship between Penix and Drake London, the constant and consistent communication that we've observed between those two. Mm. On and off the field, for Michael Penix to tell us, you know, in the offseason when they got those guys together and how they, you know, it was a goal for them to get a chance to work out a few times and get some rhythm. And that's why he says he's not worried about Darnell coming back, because he knows how he runs his routes and he knows where he'd like to get the ball. He says it's my job to get it there. But I'm just telling you guys, like, that's going to be something when the season starts, Mike. Immediately, I think Falcon fans are going to be talking about. And, you know, on Mondays after these games, we come in and we're talking to you guys about where our team is. It's going to be something you guys are going to be mentioning, because I think it's going to be evident that Penix is getting the ball. Mike's been using the phrase, thanks to West Durham, 9 to 5, as much as possible. As much as possible, Mike.
Right. And I think that's something you mentioned, Casey. Now, by the way, do you think they use Casey Washington to continue to prove he's worthy of being the replacement for Darnell Mooney until he's back? Or do you say, I don't want to risk him getting hurt? Obviously, I mean, because that is a legitimate concern.
Well,
Chris Blair.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's certainly, you know, solid. We call him DS5, David Sills the Fifth, our good friend Kadarrell Hodge. They do have some dudes. But, yeah, I would be curious to see, you know, if they do feel that, you know, if you don't see Casey out there, then that means Mooney's not coming back anytime soon.
No, and I do think the guys you're talking about, Seals and Blair, they are battling for position. That's the stuff I'm talking about. Like, those are guys I'm watching tonight. Blair had a really good game, the first game. Caught a touchdown, talked to us about how he, you know, ran the route and was hoping to show his quarterback, hey, I'm open, and they got him the ball. But, yeah, I think those guys will see more significant time than maybe even Washington. Or certainly Cordell Hodge. Listen, I think Cordell Hodge's value around the other stuff, you're not risking him. You're not going to play. There's no reason to play right. Cordell Hodge in a game where you're not playing your other star, and you know he's so vital to what you do from a special team standpoint. I don't think that they're worried about that. And plus, Mike, I think, you know, Cordell Hodge has got a roster spot. He's right. going to be here. These other guys, I think we're talking about, we may be talking about two spots for that receiver that you're talking
right.
about with Mooney here, because Mooney's, guys, he's under contract. Whether he's hurt or not, he's going to be back at some point. But you're talking about two probably other spots and three or four guys vying for that.
Right. So that's, you know, that's an area of intrigue. The corners are banged up. We talked about the rib injury. Who was it? Clark Phillips Jr., Kobe Bryant, who we've liked watching him. You know, he's probably one of the more highly touted undrafted free agents, if there's such a thing, out of Kansas. He's got a hamstring. So if you see the Titans maybe light us up, that's because the corners are kind of, you know, maybe not the best unit necessarily right now because of the injuries. But then it gets back to what you talked about. How does Brandon Dorlus continue to respond? How does, you know, Cedar Groves, D'Angelo Malone step up? Because now he's maybe found himself a niche as the, you know, inside linebacker. So, you know, there's a guy I'd love to see him kind of, you know, he's been around for a couple of years, step up in that role. The other guys, the Zach Harrison, who's playing inside, TQ Graham, you know, you mentioned young Khalid Kareem, who was the brains behind the CMB, you know, different guy. But if you want to look, if you're looking for edge in the backup, I think that's our strongest unit, those guys.
I do too. Yeah, it was Khalid, right? Is that what it was?
That's Khalid. I said Khalid. Yeah. It's Khalid.
Yeah. We were talking about that the
DJ Khaled Kareem
when Andy and Randy had a chance to visit with him. So if you are saying, hey, what should I be watching? We just gave you a bunch of stuff. And the thing about this is depth and having guys where you have no fall off once you have to use them. And if you're going to make this team, again, you know, it sounds like a lot of guys, but everybody.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots. He scores.
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media. And use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
He's got a role, man, and you just don't know when your number's going to be called. So I do think guys that will play will go out there and try to establish themselves, and it should be good. And as we mentioned, Cam Ward, it sounds like he's going to hit some reps, but, you know, I only mention that because the Titans are like a three-point favorite, and the only reason you would do that is just because you're going to start Cam over, well, you know, our guy's not playing.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots. He scores.
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.